Our next speaker, also well known probably to everyone here, is Angela Alioto, a former. Not only is she a past president of the Board of Supervisors, but she pointed out to me that in 93, she started the first Public Power Committee. So she's been in this for the long haul. Angela.
Is the middle one? Okay. I have the same problem as Graham does. I speak very loudly, so if I'm too loud in the speaker, let me know. First of all, let me thank Tom Ammiano. And I don't want to sound corny. I really don't. I adore San Francisco. I personally am sick and tired of gutless politicians that couldn't give a damn about the city, and I say we run them out of town, from the mayor to the city. I got a couple of calls on Monday saying we had lost 4 votes out of our 6. I said, that isn't happening. So when I heard who some of the votes were, I called 411 and asked for Tom Ammiano. You know, before he was a hot shot, he used to be listed. So I said, I know he's listed. He used to have a great voicemail with a joke on it, and so I know he's listed. I just call all the time. And let me tell you why I was calling Tom. I said, Tom, please, for God's sakes, do not tell me. People we walked precincts for, made telephone calls for, couldn't be more progressive on their agendas, couldn't be more progressive in the promises that they signed and said that they would endorse once they were elected. Don't tell me that it took less than 3.5 weeks for PG&E and the damn city attorney to get them not to vote for us. Please tell me that isn't true. I couldn't get through to Tom. But I left that message on his office machine. Then I called the supervisors. I said, hello, Mr. John Doe. And of course, I'm not going to tell you who they are. Okay. John Doe, do you remember those 20,000 telephone calls with my voice that said, hi, this is Angela Alioto. I'm endorsing so-and-so. Would you please vote for him? Do you remember those? Uh-huh. Do you remember the precinct walking? Yeah, uh-huh. Do you remember this? Yep, uh-huh. Do you remember when you promised me that you would vote for public power because you understood what it meant for the city of San Francisco? Oh, I don't know if that's what I saw. You damn sure did say that, buddy. And I want you to know, I'm going to sit there with my Sicilian stare Monday and make sure this vote happens. Bottom line. Then, of course, I got a call back by this morning and yesterday afternoon, and I called them all. And, you know, I'm trying to entertain these conversations that, with all due respect, and I'm trying not to be a snob, are totally absurd. Okay? I've been doing this for 10 years. Don't tell me there's an alternative. I would have done it. Okay? So the city attorney goes around trying to sell this damn charter amendment gig. Public power possibility has been in the charter for 42 years. It's already there. You don't have to amend it. You just have to do it. And there's never been the will to do it. So she doesn't need to amend it. It's there. So someone ought to say, dear Louise, darling sweetie, why in the hell haven't you suggested that the new board enact that which already exists? Why haven't you done that? You know why? Because the new supervisors who don't have all this background, who don't understand political corruption at all, would do it. And she would be stuck. If she wrote a letter and said, dear so-and-so, if we wrote a letter and said, dear so-and-so, please do this, they'd immediately introduce the legislation and it would get started. That's not what she wants. It's exactly what Tom Ammiano told you all tonight. They do everything to make us think it's what they want. When they don't want it at all, it's a red herring. Okay. Having said that, I did an interview with New York Times yesterday. And the lady says to me, I just talked to Willie Brown. I said, that must have been interesting. As the tobacco legislator and the public power legislator, here's a guy who has done spins on these two issues. I mean, it's not just 180 degrees. It's like unreal. So anyway, I said, tell me he just loves public power, right? She said, well, you know what she said? She said, you know, it's really a shame. And, you know, she thought I knew this, and I didn't know it, and I think she could tell. I didn't get emotional about it, but it affected me. I have to admit it affected me. She said, he told me, it's a shame that the powers that be in the early years went out and spent money to make Angela and Bruce Brugman look like flakes in every other area but public power. I said, excuse me? I said, like, what area would that be? I don't know if any of you ever remember public attacks either on me or on Tom Amiano or on Bruce Brugman that have nothing to do with public power, but that's how those attacks happen. People go out and spend money to make you look like a total fringe freak, flake, someone who can't do anything. I'd like to know what else I need to do. I mean, with all due respects, you know, I wrote more legislation than anyone in the history of the city before Tom Amiano. Yeah, I just won a $133 million verdict against racism, against Wonder Bread. I don't want to hear that I'm a flake, damn it. The public power issue isn't flaky. Okay, enough about that. But I have to admit, I looked at this lady. I said, that's so-and-so, Mayor. Now, that's the quote you're going to read in the New York Times, me calling Willie Brown a so-and-so. And I thought that was very light, considering the admission that I'd never heard before. I want to point something out. I'm sorry that Graham left because I love to have a little conflict with Graham. Graham is an in-house expert on all things public power or electricity, for that matter, on a statewide level. I, for 10 years, have focused on San Francisco. I want to point out something very important to you because it is the essence of the November ballot that Tom has gotten the votes for on Monday. We San Franciscans own our own power.
Damn it.
We own it. No, but understand it. You hear public power in San Diego. You hear public power in Los Angeles. You hear it in Sacramento. You hear it in Redding. They go out on the free market and buy it. We own it. We don't have to go out and buy more than 14%. We have 86% of our power from the Hetch Hetchy that we own. So when anyone tells you, watch out, you better know where you're buying it from. We, the only city and county in the nation that owns its own power, buy it from ourselves. Please understand that difference. When people quote what happened in Susanville, oh my God, you see what happened with that mud in Susanville? You know, he called it Lesson or something else. Yeah, that place. They don't own it. They've got to go out on the free market. In 1913, San Francisco's forefathers, and they weren't mothers yet, had the vision to understand the power Hetch Hetchy was going to create. They started it. It was completed in 32. In the mid-20s, they gave it to PG&E to babysit. We were to get it back. We didn't get it back because PG&E got cozy with all the powers that be, and that's where we are 80 years later. They did the franchise fee in the mid-20s that resulted in some ridiculous amount of money that they pay us a year to profit $20 million plus that could go to the general fund of our city that affects all the health services, all homelessness, all of the issues that Tom fights for so hard and that all progressives fight for so hard. That's why I fought so hard in 93 to get Hetch Hetchy back. That money is ours, and PG&E gives it to people we don't even know. Take the middleman out. Take him out, and we can do it pursuant to the franchise fee. So, just a couple of last-minute things, because I have no idea how long, because I could talk about this for hours, obviously. But because I want you all to know, all of Market Street, all of the port, all of the airport, all 1,800 buildings and one private building, Marriott, is all public power, has been since 1939, because the United States Supreme Court said, San Francisco, you are violating the Raker Act. You are to sell that power to your citizens and not to a strange third party who in turn sells it at a profit to the citizens. The citizens own it. You need to sell it to the citizens. To appease that violation stated by the United States Supreme Court, the city took back Market Street, the airport, the port, and all of the municipal buildings, okay? We just want to do it for everybody, not just for San Francisco government, for everybody, for all of the people. The mud that's going on the Monday ballot is a huge historical takeover of something that happened 80 years ago that should have never happened. Now, where we need your help is in the campaign for the next 8 months, or let's see, February to November. It's more than eight. To make sure that we elect the right directors. There are going to be five directors on the ballot in November. We need to make sure that three or four, if not all five, are PG&E understanding, anti-PG&E directors, that they're public power directors that understand that once we get rid of PG&E in the middle, San Francisco, home costs, the consumer cost will be 61 cents to the dollar that it is now. Public power, as it was estimated in 1997, was 61 cents to the dollar you pay PG&E. When you add that up, it comes to quite a bit. We need to make sure that they don't elect people with names like Barbara Kaufman. Think about it. She has a constituency and she has the money. Could she win? Yes, she could. With all due respects, Willie Kennedy, anti-public power. Think about the candidates. There are candidates out there. So we have to have five candidates that have enough outreach and knowledge of campaigning to be able to win these. And we're going to need the grassroots support of labor, which is why I'm so delighted this is a labor event. As a labor candidate for my whole life, and my father, who was the mayor, who wouldn't let me go in to see A Hard Day's Night because there were picketers out in front of the damn movie theater. I said, what the hell do you mean? I'm going around the back, Dad. I'm going to see this movie. No, you're not. They're picketing. We're not crossing the line. As a labor child and as a labor fighter my whole life, to have the IBEW unendorse me in 96 broke my heart because of my public power stance. Because let me tell you something, there will be more jobs for San Franciscans than PG&E ever had for San Franciscans. And they have done nothing but fire people. They've just done it in covert actions. And in the same time, they've let the infrastructure of the PG&E lines go directly to hell. So having said that, it is extremely important to understand this is a pro-labor initiative that's going on the ballot. There are people in this room that I absolutely have to tell you are experts on it that you should speak to. Rick Nee is here. Dan Berman is an unbelievable expert on the issue. You've got Doug Comstock in the back. These are people that walked the streets to get these signatures. You know, these supervisors, they don't understand that on Monday, the MUD Act doesn't ask for them to vote on it. The MUD Act says the members of the Board of Supervisors shall, without delay, put it on the ballot. We're not asking their opinion, with all due respects. And I'm not kidding. I can't thank God enough that Tom Amiano is there to guide this, because we wouldn't be winning on Monday, and we shouldn't even be having a vote on it. The people of the city want this on the ballot. The legislators can't stop what the people want, which is why it's a petition, which is why Doug Comstock, Rick Nee, and Carolyn Nee stood on the corners begging for these signatures. At any rate, I just want to say that if you can, well, let me tell you something. I love this crisis. I can't tell you. PG&E says they're going bankrupt. Thank you, dear Jesus. Let them go bankrupt. I have been wanting their books for 10 years. They go bankrupt, I get their books. You know, another thing about going bankrupt is in the process, when the MUD takes over in November with the five pro-MUD directors, they can do the city district by district and take the lines back. In taking the lines back with eminent domain, there are two elements. Governmental use, which we have because we're giving power to the people of San Francisco, and reasonable compensation. Not market value, reasonable compensation for those lines. So the head of PG&E gets on national news last week. Oh, this was such music to my ears. And he says, our lines are valueless. Our lines are worthless. We've got to go to the ballot and get a new bond for the infrastructure. Well, hell, reasonable compensation is the amount of money for them to take them the hell out of the ground. Period. So if we do area by area, a reasonable compensation is the amount of money for them to take their pipes away. when we put in the new ones. Or we buy the parts of the pipes that are valid, which is very low by their own statements. They are useless. They told me in committee with Tom and Sue Bierman sitting there, this is worth $1.2 billion. You don't know what you're doing. Now they're useless. This couldn't happen. This couldn't be a better time. You know, the club members that I mentioned earlier started this 2 years ago when it wasn't sexy, when it wasn't fun. Now the crisis has made it a topic people actually want to talk about. And so the crisis has been wonderful for us. The MUD is the only way to go. Don't let anyone fool you if they say it's CPUC or charter amendment or, you know, God only knows what. Someone's going to come in from Sacramento and save us. You can forget about that. Nobody's doing that. The MUD is it, and we need labor support to get out and walk house to house to make sure that we elect the right people for the MUD directorship. Thank you all so very, very much. Thank you.